the Wollamar court system, the Wollamar court model, how does this one differ from what we might consider a traditional model here in Australia?
Well, I think the major problem with the common law system is it's not very good at discovering why things happen. These types of courts are really useful in examining what it is that has led to someone being on the brink of going to prison. And because Indigenous incarceration rates are so diabolical, really they're the first step or a step towards a system that recognises the need for Indigenous community input. So my experience is in the Koori courts in Victoria. I was in a case called Honeysett, which was an appeal that looked at how the Koori court sentencing process works in Victoria and how that, in fact, can be improved. So generally, these courts work on the basis that the elders of a community come in and have a conversation with someone at the point of sentence and with the judge. Hopefully, the courts in New South Wales will take that extra step that after that conversation, they can have the types of reports that they have in Canada that enable the Indigenous community to have that input, specific input into the sentence, not just have a conversation and then the judge sentences. So for your listeners, really trying to understand that this is a type of court that enables an examination of why that person is before the court. What connection do they have with their Indigenous community? Has that been lost as a result of the appalling treatment of Indigenous people over centuries? Is there generational trauma? Is there specific trauma to that person? We know, and experts have written goodness knows how much, and there's been so many reports on all the reasons why there is such a high level of Indigenous incarceration, that how discriminatory it is and how much we need the Indigenous community to be involved. So I'm not surprised Tim Game has supported it. I'm interested in, obviously, people are interested in the economic side of things as well, which was the two things that you told us about in your comment. But these courts are really about examining why an offence occurs, not just constantly shoving people into maximum prisons, huge prisons, and not dealing with social disadvantage, generational trauma, and all of those issues that we seem to be so knowledgeable of and do nothing about in the common law system.
You mentioned the distinction between what's being done in New South Wales and what's been done in sort of previous attempts at this one, trials of this one. What kind of trials have we actually seen and what kind of outcomes have we actually seen from previous attempts?
Well, the Koori courts in Victoria have various outcomes. Of course, you can have specialised community-based sentences that are very suitable for that particular person, that have Indigenous community input. You could have reduced custodial sentences to understand that the drivers for that offending are not the same drivers as someone who doesn't suffer from the sorts of issues that the Indigenous community suffer from. It allows for an examination of discriminatory conduct in the course of an investigation. Unfortunately, we don't currently have these systems for trials. You know, in South Africa, for example, when juries were abolished, they have two lay assessors. And it might be quite interesting to have Indigenous people sitting with a judge in trials and educating juries on issues relating to Indigenous people. So there are lots of things that can be done. In Canada, there's a Gladue-style report. It's called Gladue after a case called Gladue, where there's an examination by Indigenous communities into why offences have been committed. But these are really good methods of making a step towards doing criminal justice better than we currently do it, certainly in examining why people end up in the criminal justice system, which, of course, isn't necessarily all their fault.
And obviously, as you mentioned before, they're reducing incarceration rates it should be a huge concern, you know, regardless of any other factors. You know, it is an absolutely atrocious sort of issue just on its own face. But in terms of measuring this one and focusing on rehabilitation as opposed to incarceration, will we have sort of a measurable way of determining rehabilitation as this system is used and these cases go on?
Well, I think the most important thing to say here is it's all very well listening to my English accent, but there's thousands of Indigenous people who really understand the problems for their people. We have to listen to the Indigenous community, and it's entirely possible to measure the ways in which understanding why someone commits an offence can contribute to a lack of recidivism, a reduction in criminal conduct, or indeed recognising that some of what they're accused of doing they haven't done at all. So it's really about much lower degrees of punishment. We've gone for a very long time in the common law world, right across the Commonwealth, of punishing people in a way that doesn't protect society, doesn't protect any community, and costs an awful lot of money. And these courts are a step towards having the correct communities involved in the process that affects their community. And we really need to recognise that Indigenous people know what they're doing in this area, because it's about their community, and we've got some responsibility to let them be involved in that process.
Well, Felicity, look, do appreciate you joining us and unpacking this one for us a little bit this morning.
Only a little bit, yes, I'm afraid so. And I think it's really important to listen to the voices of the Indigenous people to understand that rehabilitation is much better than incarceration.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Felicity.
You're welcome. Thank you.